So here Imam says, first of all, sometimes in taqiyya one has to hide his knowledge, and sometimes the people cannot tolerate. There are many other reasons. And also Imam said that the right knowledge will be taken from the Imams, not from anyone else. The chapter number 17, quoting books and the tradition, significance of writing and adhering to the books. Here there are certain hadith which encourage people to write and to have their own books, to write whatever hadith they hear and have a book. So many hadith coming. These hadith are important in fiqh also, because it has its own application. We'll read the first hadith from Abi Basir. He said, I have inquired from Abu Abdullah As-Sadiq alayhi salam regarding the word of Allah in the ayah, who here advise and follow the best thereof. Such are those whom Allah guided, and such are men of understanding, as Zumar. الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلَ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَا. So what is the meaning? Then Imam alayhi salam replied, the Imam observed, this is a person who hears the tradition and relates it exactly as he heard it, without adding and subtracting from it. So important, when you hear a tradition, it's better to remember it exactly as it is. And when we relate that tradition and tell other people, we should relate it exactly without any addition, either not a single letter or word not to be added or deleted from that hadith. And naturally, not all muhaddithin were capable of remembering a hadith. Sometimes they used to add or delete, but they wanted to explain the meaning of hadith, the spirit of hadith. So we see the second hadith is like that. You say Muhammad ibn Muslim said to Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, the Abi Abdullah al-Sadiq. Muhammad ibn Muslim say, I have inquired of Abu Abdullah that I hear the tradition from you, and then while quoting it to others, I add to and subtract something from it. The Imam replied, it does not matter if you intend to convey the meaning of the tradition. So in a hadith that we read, sometimes two, three hadith, they are similar in the meaning, but the wording are different. Of course, if you can keep the same words of the Imam, that is much better. But in history, that was not possible for everyone. Some of the companions of the Imams, when they refer to the saying of the Imam, they were not remembering exact words of the Imam. They used their own language, but with the same meaning they learned from the Imam, and whatever they remember of the hadith. So Muhammad ibn Muslim, he said, I hear the hadith from you, that's me, the Imam, but then I may add or subtract to it. So he said, if you want to give the same meaning, then it is okay. And that shows that a hadith we have are not all of them exact words of Imam, because some of them are expressions of the people themselves who hear the hadith from the Imam. Well, hadith number 3 is similar to this. When he said that I hear hadith from you and I want to relate it, but it will not come as it is. Imam said, do you do it intentionally? He said, no. He said, you mean the meaning? He said, yes. He said, well, it is okay. Now, hadith number 4, from Abi Basir saying, I asked Abu Abdullah As-Sadiq alayhi salam, many a time I hear a tradition from you, but related it on the authority of your father, Imam Abu Ja'far Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam, or I hear from your father, but related on the authority of you. Imam replied, there is no difference at all between the two, except that I would extremely love the traditions which you have heard from my father, being attributed to my father. Imam Abu Abdullah alayhi salam addressed Jamil and observed, attribute to my father what you hear from me. So here he said that I hear hadith from you and I relate to your father. Imam said makes no difference, because all the hadith of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam are the same. They are not saying from themselves. What Imam Sadiq said was exactly what his father Imam al-Baqir told him, and what his grandfather Imam Zain al-Abidin told his father, and what Imam Ali alayhi salam told, what Imam Hussein told Imam Zain al-Abidin, what Imam Ali told Imam Hussein, and what the Holy Prophet told Imam Ali, and from Jibreel, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then their knowledge is one. But Imam said, it's better to relate it to my father, maybe because it will be safer for the Imam. Now his father is dead, and if the government at the time wanted to question the Imam why he related this hadith, now it's related to the father and the father is dead. If it was related to Imam al-Baqir and alive, maybe the government will question that why we are giving this fatwa, this is against what the other Muslims believe and so on. We come to hadith number 7. From Abu Abdullah, he said that, says Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam, while narrating any tradition before others, quote the person who has narrated it to you. If it was true, the credit is yours, and if false, the credit, the debit is his. So it's better whenever we narrate any hadith, we narrate who told us that hadith. So now if that hadith was true, naturally we have narrated a true hadith, we will get thawab, we will share thawab. But if that hadith was wrong, then the debit is for the one who told us that hadith wrongly. We will not have any sin. Well, hadith number 12 has its own meaning from the authority of Abu Abdullah alayhi salam. Sadiq said, Iyakum wal kidbul muftara. Beware of telling a lie which is derivative. It was asked what such a lie is. The Imam explained, if a person quotes before you a tradition and you, while citing, omit the name of the person who has narrated it to you, quoting the person directly who has narrated it to the one who narrated it, the tradition to you. So here some of the people, they hear a hadith from someone, and that someone, he said, I heard another person who said this hadith from the Imam, for example. Now the person, to be proud himself, he will omit the person who told him, he jumped directly to the second party who told, the one who told him. He has to be proud and omit this one in the way. So Imam says this is al-kidb al-muftara, this is a lie which has many derivatives, because you are deleting a man who told you and lying that Mr. So-and-so, the second one told you, while the second one did not tell you. Somebody else was in the middle who told you about him. You cannot relate directly to one whom you have not heard. You have to relate to the man whom you have heard. Don't be proud of yourself. Hadith number 14 is very beautiful hadith. Many of the ashab, they said, we have heard Abu Abdullah as-Sadiq alayhi salam saying, All I narrate are the words of my father, and all the narrations of my father are the words of my grandfather, and all the narrations of my grandfather are the words of my great-grandfather Al-Hussein alayhi salam, and all the narrations of Al-Hussein alayhi salam are the words of Al-Hassan, and all the narrations of Al-Hassan are the words of his father Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam, and all the narrations of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam are the words of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all the traditions of the Prophet are the words of Allah the Almighty the Great. So you see, the Ahlul Bayt are not making a hadith from themselves, even are not doing ijtihad, but they are reaching the truth direct without need for ijtihad, because they know the hadith, and the hadith are related from the father to grandfather to Amir al-Mu'minin to the Holy Prophet to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hadith number 15. Here comes about how a hadith are being referred from a person to a person. عن محمد بن الحسن بن أبي خالد شينولة he said I inquired of Abu Ja'far the second من Imam al-Jawad ninth Imam عليه السلام may my life be sacrificed for you. Our chieftains in tradition narrated the traditions on the authority of Abu Ja'far the fifth Imam Imam al-Baqir and Abu Abdullah عليهم السلام. And at that time they had to observe taqiyya, tactical measures in concealing their special belief. Hence they used to conceal their written note books. Consequently these books had never been quoted from them. Now they, the compilers of those traditions, have passed away from this world and their concealed books have reached us. Hearing this, the Imam observed, do narrate from those books, since those books are surely authentic. Now in narrating a hadith, we discussed this before, that there are many ways to narrate the hadith. The first way is to hear hadith directly from the narrator, and the narrator hears it directly from the other one until he reached the Imam alayhi salam. He say here called suma' hearing, and that is the most authentic way from suma'. The second way which is similar to suma' is isma' when somebody read the hadith for his teacher and his teacher says this is right. So he has not heard it from his teacher. On the contrary, he told his teacher about the hadith that I have this hadith and his teacher says yes, this hadith is right. So naturally his teacher must have heard it from another one till he reached Imam alayhim as-salam. Like Tara'ah.
The first one is says Al-Imdah, Imdah means writing. This one is Al-Arb, Al-Arb is showing. The first that Sama' means Imdah.
The teacher told me so I heard and I have written it. So it's Imdah, writing.
The second one, qira'ah or isma' called al-arf, means I have shown to my teacher. These are certain terms are used. Of course here, sometimes he says حدثنا, I mean we were told, or حدثني in a plural or singular. So if he was alone, he said I hear alone from so and so, from so and so. But if there are many, he said حدثنا, we are a group and our teachers told us. So the wording might come in plural or singular. Well, sometimes it's called here ijaza. Ijaza means the teacher gives permission to the student to narrate all the hadith that he knows them and the students got them from him. So he gave him permission that now you are authentic, you have heard a hadith and so on. Now this ijazah may be for a hadith which was heard or a hadith which was written. You give him a book, you say these are a hadith that I narrate them from the imams and you are allowed to narrate them on my authority, and my authority on authority of so and so, so and so thing. He is the Imam Ma'soom. Well, besides ijaza, they call munawala. Munawala, when he gives him a book, called munawala. Munawala means when he gives the book to someone and say you are allowed to related to, you are permitted to relate this. Sometimes you give ijaza without book, sometimes you give a book and you say all this book is there. Well, these are terms used by, and one of the way is called wujaza, finding. Sometimes we do not hear from the narrator himself. We do not read. We do not get, we have not no permission from them. We have not got book from them. Mujaza is finding. But we found a book written by someone, and in that book there are many ahadith. Now will this book be authentic or not? Can we trust these ahadith or not? Now we have not heard the man say that I hear these from so and so from the imams. We have not seen him. We have not told him, we have not written from him direct, we have no permission from him, he has not given us the book, he is dead and we don't know. We only found the book in his name. Of course, I mean the name is trustworthy, not a forged one, naturally. So is that allowed or not? This is called mujaza, finding. So here, in this ruwayah, one is asking Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam that some of our narrators who were living, who were companions of Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, they have written books but they have not shown to anyone because of taqiyya. They were fearing of the parent rulers at that time. So no one can narrate these books from them through suma or isma or ijaza or munawala. But now we have found these books. Can we depend on these books? The Imam said yes. You are allowed to narrate these books because whatever is there is true, is haq. So this hadith actually is referring to these ways of hadith. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.